Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We talked about the fact that Williamson has really improved his ability to drive to the basket, and he just got Murphy on his shoulder and didn't let him get by.
Great feet inside, a quad, and boy, he hit the high flying Williamson has got 12. A pretty play by the Ramblers. Rebound by Williamson. Approaching the halfway point. Oh, what a crossover, Williamson. Got it. Oh, that was beautiful.
The man being described by Kevin Harlan, Lucas Williamson, the former Loyola standout and a first-team All-MVC shooting guard, joins us now on the Bernstein and Holmes Show on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. Lucas, I don't even know how you know what city you're in right now with all the traveling you've been doing for these tryouts.
Hey, it's been crazy. I've been here, I've been there, I've been everywhere. But right now I'm home, so that's familiar. So I know where I am now.
So what's this been like where you're trying to figure out the next portion of your life and being dissected by NBA teams and scouts?
Yeah, you know, I describe it as, I mean, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I mean, it's a grind, it's a process for sure. But I mean, it's a blessing to be able to go out to compete directly in front of a front office, to use NBA facilities, to even be at this level. It's a blessing even to do half of the stuff. So I'm just enjoying every part of it, even though it was a grind.
I know you want to hear your name called in, as a draft selection, but it's not so terrible if you have your choice of free agent destinations and you get some agency in the process where you can find a place that may be a coach, a scheme, a roster that fits you best. How are you weighing the possibilities for how things could shake out Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it would be nice to hear my name called, but if I don't, it's not the end-all be-all, right? Like you said, I get agency, I get to choose you know, which team fits me best. And that's not so, it's not so bad when you're the one in the driver's seat, right? So it's just, you know, me and my agent, like, we're more focused on right team, right fit, rather than, you know, trying to hear my name called. If I'm in the right place with the right team, with, you know, an organization that sees something in me, that's willing to work with me, then I'd rather be, take that route than hear my name called and be at the wrong organization with not as many opportunities for me personally.
How open are you to playing international?
I mean, that's definitely something that I would want to, you know, keep my options open to down the line. But right now I'm completely locked in, focused on trying to make the NBA.
What's something inside of this draft process that you've heard or read that you know is completely wrong about you in scouting?
You know, actually, I haven't seen a lot of things that are completely wrong. I just say that, you know, I'm more of a
I'm more of a two-way player than what people might realize and what might think. You know, yes, defense is my calling card, and that's what I'm going to continue to hang my hat on as an athlete, as a basketball player. But, you know, I was the number one option on a tournament-caliber team this year. I mean, we made the tournament. So it's not like I'm not an offensive player. Like, I was a complete threat offensively all year long. But then I came down and I guarded the best player defensively. So I just want to show teams that that's something that I'm willing to do, and that's something that I see myself doing as my career unfolds.
How standardized are some of these individual NBA workouts now? Do you get a sense, or do they tell you ahead of time, hey, these are the drills you want to see. You're going to shoot 40 of these and 50 of these and go over here and do this and we'll measure this. Or is it more of a feel kind of thing? Is it a pickup game here and there? Is it one-on-one? How have they varied?
Yeah, you know, they actually are all pretty much the same. There's about six guys, six pre-draft guys that will come in for a workout. We'll get there. We'll do measurements. Some teams have us do like athletic testing, and then we'll stretch. We'll get loose. Then we'll play ones, and then we'll do some shooting first, and then we'll play ones, and then we'll play 3-on-3 half court, and then we'll do 3-on-3 full court, and then at the end we'll shoot. A lot of teams have us shoot 100 threes. And some teams make us do conditioning, some teams don't. But that's pretty much the blueprint.
Wow. I mean, that's seems like a lot to go in there and do. So what's been your plan because how do you go about proving who you are when you're not doing it in a 5-on-5 setting?
Yeah. I mean, it's still basketball, though. I mean, just because it's not 5-on-5, there's still actions. There's still – it actually kind of makes offensively, it makes it a little easier to make reads and show, my IQ as a basketball player because there's not as many guys on the court. So, I mean, it's just like you said, just kind of having a feel, trying to continue to just show that I can guard in space. And offensively, a lot of teams are interested in me at the point guard position. So it's showing that I can handle the ball, handle pressure, make reads, come off ball screens, that type of thing.
When you're there with five other guys who are all in a similar situation, perhaps, is it generally guys who are projected to be around where you're projected? Or is there like a lottery pick? Is there a blue chipper there? I mean, do you get somebody who's like, wow, well, you know, this dude is doing this for different reasons?
Yeah, I mean, in some of my workouts, there's some surefire first rounders on the edge of the lottery, and then some of them it'll be projected non-drafted guys. I mean, it all just depends on who's at the workout, what the team decides to do, what the team decides to bring in that day.
Well, the reason I ask is then, do you find yourself measuring yourself or saying, look, you can mark a guy? And you can say, here you can look at me, this guy's maybe similar height, and if you think this guy's going to go 15, watch this, get a load of this. And then you can show people that one-to-one comparison.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a little bit of that, because at the end of the day, you're competing. And so I do want to show that I feel like I'm better than some guys. But for the most part, More importantly than that, it's just showing my strengths and showing what I can do and continuing to run my own race and control what I can control. A lot of people are drafted based off of potential, and that's not something that I can necessarily compete against today, right? So it's just continuing to just show, what I can do and what I do best.
How much of this is them sitting down and talking with you, Lucas?
Oh, yeah, interviews play a big role because at the end of the day, if they're willing to spend millions of dollars on you, it's $1 million investment in the person. And so who you are as a person is very interesting to them. They're very interested in that. So there's a lot of interviews. I had 19 interviews at Portsmouth. Some teams had me interview again with them when I went to go work out. So they're very interested in who you are. Because like I said, they're willing to invest millions of dollars into who you are.
Well, inside of like NFL, like combine interviews, there's a lot of nightmare questions that get asked. I don't get the feeling that NBA teams work that way, but have you had any odd questions? Because you're a guy of varied interest.
Yeah. Well, I like to say that I interview well. I like to say that I kind of, you know, can put two sentences together. So I haven't been asked a question that I felt like I couldn't handle. The craziest question that I was asked was, like, out of these five vices, which one would be more, like, detrimental to you? And he proceeded to list, like, five bad things, like alcohol, like this, that, and the other. Like, which one would be most likely to be your downfall? And I had to, like, pick one. And I was like...
I wouldn't have answered that. I'll be honest with you.
You had no answer.
I would not have. I think that's unfair. I think it's a bad, unfair question.
No, it's just more so... I think it's just more they want to hear what you have to say. Right. So the way I answer that is I worked backwards. I worked against the question. So I was like, this one isn't me. This one isn't me. This one isn't me. So I'm going to have to go with this one by process of elimination.
This is why I keep telling people he's going to be president. And I don't care if he makes any NBA All-Star teams.
Well, I
think Lucas is going to end up being president one day.
Well, look, how long do you give this then? Because if basketball is a part of your life, but isn't it's what you do and not who you are. How long do you stick this? I mean, how do you if you get to what a multi-year contract? Are you just going to give this the absolute full shot to have your 20-year NBA career, or at some point are you going to be tempted to do things beyond basketball?
Yeah, I want to play basketball for as long as I can. I mean, there's, you know, whatever other careers that lie out there that'll be there. When, you know, if I have a 10-year career, if I have a 15-year career, if I have a 2-year career, it'll always be there. Basketball is something that'll come and go. That's not something that I could just pick up at 50 and say, oh, I want to be in the NBA, right? So I want to give this my complete and 100% focus. And then, you know, down the line, who knows what career I'll pursue and what I actually end up doing and making a living off of in the future.
Well, I got to let you know, Lucas, that you were a question for my DePaul students on their midterm this year because I had them watch the Loyola Project. And then one of the questions was who was narrating the Loyola Project. And after watching it and us talking about it a few months ago, when people have paid attention to it and it was on CBS before the Final Four, what type of feedback have you gotten from doing that?
Yeah, you know, the Loyola Project, that's been, you know, a project that's been near and dear to my heart. And the feedback that we've gotten from that has been phenomenal. Number one, first and foremost, it's doing exactly what we meant the story to do. It's getting in front of people, providing conversations. It's getting the story of the 63 Ramblers out there. And the feedback that we've been getting is, you know, number one, oh, my God, I didn't know this story existed. And number two, there's been, you know, the purpose of the film is to ease into those conversations that are a little bit more uncomfortable. And in my experience in dealing with the film hands-on, people are willing to have those conversations because it's a sports movie, right? They're more willing to express themselves. We just recently had a film and showing in Milwaukee, and the discussion after the film got a little emotional afterwards. But those are the type of conversations that we hope come from the movie.
How and where will you be watching the draft? What's your setup, and how are you going to go through the process?
Yeah, so I'm gonna watch the draft with a few friends and two friends and family and some prior coaches of mine that have helped me become who I am. But nothing crazy, nothing too big. But I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm in the conversation. My agent feels like I'm right there. If I do get drafted, he wouldn't be surprised. If I go undrafted, we also wouldn't be very surprised like at that either. So. I'm interested to see what shakes up these next couple of days.
We are too, man. Congratulations on everything that's happened and good luck. And I know that you'll make a good choice. So knowing that you'll make a good choice, no matter where it is, how this plays out, I think is encouraging, man. So keep up the great work and good luck. And I hope that you get an opportunity to live that NBA dream.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you.
Our pleasure. That is Lucas Williamson, former Loyola Rambler and Whitney Young Dolphin.
And if you want to see the movie, like I believe it's still available on Paramount Plus, but if you don't have it, you can just get it Loyola Project, the loyolaproject.com. And it's a history of the 1963 team, and it's great. And when I played it for my students, like we had a whole week where we were discussing it because they don't know. And there are a lot of people that don't know that Loyola has the only national championship in the state. And finding out about that team and George Ireland and some of the things that team went through, a lot of stuff that was imposed by their coach, by the way. And then the connection between the Final Four team for Loyola and them having a discussion with those guys from the 63 team. I'm a big proponent. I love, love, love Loyola's campus gym. It is, I think, the best place in Chicago to watch basketball. It's got a great feel. I think it holds like 4,500 or something like that.
That's how I feel about Granderson Stadium in baseball.
It makes a lot of sense that you do feel that way. And that place is the perfect skyline.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But the Gentile Center, next year, if you're looking for like a Thursday night, like just fun, that place rocks. Porter Moser, he was doing like door to door, going to the dorms and asking kids to come out. And they've got a real vibe there. But Lucas is, and if you listen to it, you heard it. Like that's a guy that basketball won't define him. But he's got the right approach of, well, it's not like I can play basketball when I'm 50. So let me go out here while I'm 23, 24, do that now, and then see what happens. See where I end up. And because he knows that he's got all the other stuff to fall back on, which is great. I love seeing stories like this and students like this. Like the professor in me comes out every time I talk with him. Because you go, oh yeah, this is one of your favorite students if you're a teacher. He's inquisitive and smart and seems to understand who he is.
You'd write him a recommendation is what you were saying.
100% I'd write him a recommendation, but I'd pretty much write all of my kids a recommendation.
A lot of work.
It is. That's the gig, though. A couple of them have turned, like the quarter ended 2 weeks ago, and I got some emails from students, and one of them is going to be working on Hard Knocks this year.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it was got a really nice thank you note from that student. So I'm super excited.
As you should.
Yeah.
We started out by spending the first hour of the show talking a bunch of baseball, and it's a hell of a pitching matchup for this White Sox game tonight in Cease against Gausman. We should talk about that and get back to a little bit more about what we're saying regarding the state of this pitching staff and what's going on with all of their injuries and everything else. It's coming up on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. An Odyssey station.
Your pitching matchup tonight for the Toronto Blue Jays right-hander Kevin Gausman with that ERA of 3.21. Dylan Cease has him beaten that statistical category. The White Sox right-hander still rocking his Freddie Mercury mustache. He's got a 2.91 ERA. And not so bad on the peripheral numbers either. That fielder independent pitching sitting at a lovely 2.77. The problem with one Dylan Cease, too many pitches.
Yep.
Too few innings.
Lately.
Last three outings, 4 2/3. This is back on June 4th. He was 4 2/3, 101 pitches. June 9th, 4 2/3, 110 pitches. And then June 14th, 5 innings, 108 pitches. It's just he's got to be more efficient. He's got to trust his stuff, throw it over the plate. Babe Ruth is dead.
What?
That's what they always say. Babe Ruth is dead, throw it over the plate.
Well,
what's the worst going to happen to it?
I love the idea of Dylan was talking about Cueto on the Fox broadcast 3 weeks ago. And he was talking about the way that he goes about doing his stuff. Like we were having the discussion earlier about how Cueto's pitching and he's not throwing. And I
not
think
just throwing.
Just throwing. And I think that the White Sox rotation could use some of that. Like they could use, why don't we pick a little bit of that up and add it? Unfortunately, with Lucas, I feel like we're watching a guy that can pitch struggle because he doesn't have like his top shelf velocity right now. Now, and there are ways around that. You can change your differentials on your fastball to change up. But they are clearly, they've decided, the batters have decided, all right. So the guy with the parachute changeup, he throws the two different changeups. We'll be ready for that. And if he's not popping 96, 97, we don't have to worry about covering the fastball. We'll be able to cover the fastball in a count that's to our advantage. With Lucas, with Dylan, I see a guy that I'm waiting for him to really harness. Like you can see the stuff. And you can see how he can dominate a game. But sometimes you can dominate a game and not have 9 strikeouts.
Sure. If you're trusting your defense and pitching to contact, I don't know that this is a defense I would trust in some places, which kind of makes it difficult. But he has enough plus pitches that he should be effective even if one of them is not operating at peak efficiency.
Yes, I agree with you. We should also probably say we were wrong yesterday.
What did we say?
Who did we want to start at second base yesterday?
Danny Mendick.
Who did start at second base yesterday?
Josh Harrison.
And he had the Josh Harrison game.
He did. That play, by the way, I know the home run was great. That fielding play was a
exquisite,
legit star play. That wasn't like a guy made a dive because he was out of position. It was the throw. It was not only to get to the ball, to field it cleanly, but how effortlessly and without seeming care for his balance or where he would end up or anything like that, delivered that throw from that spot. It was a remarkable play.
It was great to see. Last night, it was weird because the White Sox were in complete control of the game, and then the game got out of control again. And you're sitting there going, I've also decided since we are talking about like fashion choices that the White Sox make, I want Joe Kelly to rock his glasses.
Yeah.
I feel more, it's a dumb thing. I feel less comfortable with Dylan's mustache, but more comfortable with Joe Kelly rocking his glasses.
I finally figured out the lookalike that I haven't been able to pin down for Joe Kelly.
Who you got?
Guy Pearce.
Oh. That's not bad.
Right? There's something
like Time Machine Guy Pearce.
Like LA Confidential. There's something in there. I mean, he's a good-looking dude.
The jawline.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of Guy Pearce in him.
Huh. That's a good comp, I think. But seeing him without his glasses was unsettling. I was like, hey, get your glasses on.
It looks like...
But did you hear why he wasn't wearing them?
No.
He wasn't wearing them because he's working pitch comm, and so he doesn't have to see the fingers. So he can just throw to the spot because he knows the spot that he wants to throw, and since he's got pitch comm, he knows what pitch he's going to throw.
That's really interesting. I would.
I thought it was interesting too.
Wouldn't you still want to see better?
Yes, but maybe he doesn't like, you know, maybe he doesn't like the way they feel. Maybe they slide down. Maybe they sweaty.
What if it's the difference between ball hit at you and the difference in getting a glove on it and not getting a glove on it?
I don't know. I'm nearsighted and I haven't had that issue. Like, I could play without my contacts or my glasses if I wanted to, even at my advanced age. So he's probably fine.
We didn't know Jason needed glasses until there was an issue on the mound and the coaches yelled out, "Why the hell did you throw this?" Like, well, he saw this. He said he called for the fork ball. Like, yeah. No, he didn't. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And then we found out, like, hey, kid, can you see the signs?
Yeah.
And it was like Ricky Vaughn. So we said, all right, let's take you in. And indeed, that was the issue.
I had astigmatism, a very similar thing happen late in high school. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I haven't really been seeing clearly. Didn't you bring up Jimmy Cliff earlier?
The rain is gone. Yeah,
that's a problem. And then, like the first game I played with my glasses on, I was out there raking.
Night and day, right?
I was like, oh, I can see everything.
Well, or you could be like my friend Dave. This is where the Bradley Center had just opened in Milwaukee. Okay, this is old. This is the Bradley Center. This isn't Pfizer or the new place. It had just opened, and we wanted to see the Bulls, so we figured, let's drive. It couldn't be easier. Instead of bothering getting tickets here, it's just easier to drive up there, get some nosebleeds. And it was a fun time for us. The four of us pile in the car, we go there, we sit there, and he's grumbling the whole time. And he's just like, you know, I'll never understand it. I said, what? He said, you'd think, hey, what did this building cost? I said, what do you mean? He goes, what did this cost to construct this arena, this brand new arena? I said, what are you bitching about? He goes, you'd think they put in a scoreboard that people could read.
Oh, no.
And he said, all this money, all these millions of dollars, and they can't put in a scoreboard that you can read. So my other friend Andy takes off his glasses. He goes, Dave, why don't you try these? And he puts them out. He goes, damn it! It was great. He was miserable the whole time.
What are you? Are you nearsighted?
I'm just old. I just have, these are just readers.
Readers. Okay.
Yeah,
so
my doctor said once you get to 45, everyone just goes
downhill. I've been fighting it. And Tony Gill was saying on the Sports Adjacent podcast, I adore Tony. He's just so funny and he doesn't even realize like when he's being an old man. His latest thing that he's upset about, and I can relate, because I'm 20 years older than Tony, he hates how dark it is in restaurants.
He's my mother.
Yes. I'll send you the clip. It's hysterical. And he hates the menus, like trying to read the menus. Now, I'm with him on that, but I am not above. I will literally put my phone on and put the flashlight on the menu to read it. I've got no shame when it comes to that.
Hack, take a picture, and then just enlarge the picture.
Oh. I guess,
instead of sort of doing the whole thing in this and futzing around with it, and just snap a photo and then enlarge the photo.
But the idea that young Tony.
That's great.
But Dan, here's the beauty of it.
That's great.
The beauty.
He's become my parents.
The beauty of it is.
Tony damn Gill.
Is that.
And if he's too close to where the bus, the station is, where they're scraping the plates, is he going to move his table?
No.
Too close to an air conditioning vent?
But he also does not like how loud restaurants are. Yes.
Well, you know the old joke, right? Of the waiter walks up to the table of old Jewish women, and he walks up and he says, "Is anything all right?"
Wow! Wow! Well, that apparently is now Tony Gill. But the beauty of it, Dan, is that this is a guy who, until a couple years ago, didn't go to fancy restaurants because his theory was
he didn't like steak, right? Yeah.
Well, not no.
It had steak.
He he had been to
Ronnie's or something.
Yeah, like middle of the road, like type of places to get food. There's nothing wrong with that. And I explained that to him. Mm-hmm. And then I took him to Gibson's. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh.
Well, that's what a $60 steak tastes like.
Yeah. Right, yeah, okay. And now he understands
it. $75 now, yeah.
But now that he's Anthony Gill, mm-hmm, and he's getting married, he's going out to these nice dinners at places, and he's found that he can't see the menu and the music's too damn loud. What a shift. Like, what an absolute shift that you find the right woman and she brings it out of you. She takes you to places. She puts a tie on you and sends you to a restaurant where
he can't put his own tie on.
No, Tony can put his own tie on. But I'm saying, like, now he has to go to these very fancy places. And I don't even know if Tony's ready for his own wedding.
I'm not even going to ask a follow-up question.
I'll tell you during the break.
Okay, good, because we have transition coming up with Parkins and Spiegel on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.